You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
I'm going to share a short message, and then afterwards, if you are free, if you do not have any lunch plans, we would love for you to stay back and have lunch with us. We've got a huge... I'm so sorry. If we don't like interruptions at Sun Life Church, and my sincere apologies, that's just not how we like to do services here. The audio guys, very good chance that you might get fired very, very soon. Ben. Can you please turn off your mobile phones? It will be so honoring during my talk and my presentation if you can just turn that down to silence. We don't want another situation of someone interrupting me and just answering their phone call. I'm so sorry. So afterwards, if you are free, please stay back and join us for...
The spit guy, he's just wondering when to put on the spit.
The spit guy... Tim, tell him that we're eating in an hour's time, that spit should be already cooking now, mate. Otherwise, we're having raw lamb. Thanks. Interruptions. I am not a fan of interruptions. And this morning here, I want to talk about the greatest interruption of them all. That day when God decided to interrupt humanity, to come into our world, to take on flesh, because God saw the need to interrupt. God saw the need to disturb us, because I believe that there is a God today who is forever interrupting us and calling for our attention. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And the big question is that when God interrupts you, and when God calls for your attention, will you notice? And will you follow? That's what I want to talk about. I want to take us back to the very, very first Christmas. That very first Christmas when God interrupted a young couple who were about to get married. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Otherwise, the passage is on the screen behind me. Luke chapter 1, verses 26. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, can you picture this? You've got a young girl. She's about to get married. It's an exciting time. For those who've been married before, you know how exciting it is, especially for the bride. Who's going to conduct my ceremony? Shall I have two bridesmaids or 25 bridesmaids, you know? Where would the reception be held? Would the ceremony be held in a church or maybe outdoors, Swan Valley? Where would the honeymoon be? You know, would it be Paris? If we can't afford Paris, maybe Pemberton? I don't know. But it's such an exciting time. They're about to get married. And then God would say to one of his angels, "Hey, Gabe. Hey, Gabriel, Gabe, I want you to interrupt this young couple. They're about to get married. They're not married yet. And I want you to go down and tell her the following things." Well, let's carry on the story. Verse 28. The angel went to her, that is Mary, and said, "Greetings. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Verse 30. But the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus." Now, we need to slow down. Put yourselves in Mary's shoes. You're not even married yet. And someone interrupts you, an angel out of nowhere says, "By the way, you're going to have a baby." "What are you talking about, Mr. Gabriel? I'm not even married yet. I'm so stressed right now. I don't want to know that there's something inside of me." What a disturbing announcement. What's going on? Another interruption right there. But there's more to the story. Look in verse 32 and 33. The angel said, "Your baby, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, Mary, if you understand, is a good Jewish girl, and she knows the last time God's people had a kingdom would have been 500 years ago. That's a long time. The last time Israel, God's people, had a king, a kingdom, was 500 years ago. So for the last 400 to 500 years, it's been pretty cruisy. It's been pretty normal. Not a lot has happened. In fact, Mary would know that the previous kingdoms of God were very unsuccessful. They never last. If we read through the Old Testament, we see God's kingdom really not lasting that long. But right here, this angel would say, "By the way, your baby, he will have a kingdom, and his kingdom will never end. You are going to give birth to a future king, and his kingdom will never end." We fast forward a few months, and now it's the birth of this baby. We know the story. There are some shepherds some distance away, doing their own thing, looking after the sheep, and God now interrupts the shepherds. Let's go to the next chapter, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." There's another interruption. Shepherds doing their own thing at night, looking after the sheep. No idea what's going on, and an angel appears and says, "By the way, in Bethlehem, the town of David, the Savior is born. What are you going to do about that, shepherds?" Well, in verse 15, "When the angels have left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" So the shepherd made a decision. We're going to go. We're going to see this Savior. There's another interruption. Somewhere, some distance away, there's this evil ruler. He's the ruler of Israel. His name is King Herod. And he's heard that there's a baby born. And this baby will be a future king. And he probably knows that the kingdom of this baby will never fail. And he's now a bit nervous. He's got insecurity issues. And so what does he want to do? He wants to find where this baby is and ultimately what? Destroy and kill this baby. That's his plan. Meantime, Mary and Joseph have no idea what's going on. They did not know that there was a king out to kill Jesus. I mean, think about it. They've just given birth to a baby boy, right? I mean, for those who are young parents, you're just surviving, right? Doing whatever it takes, trying to sleep, trying to get as much sleep as possible. You know, praise God if you can sleep through the night. If you can't, it's not the end of the world. You're just trying to survive, right? But look what happens now. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream." I read this and I just go, wow, God just interrupts you anywhere and anytime, any place. In a dream. Like Joseph, he's trying to have some good sleep, right? Baby Jesus is probably crying. He's trying to have a good night's sleep. He's in a good deep dream, and an angel interrupts him. How good is God? "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother, Mary, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Another interruption from God. I read through the Bible, And this baby, Jesus, becomes a man. And he happens to be walking along one day and he sees some fishermen fishing. And he interrupts them. And what does he say to them? Hey, you! Come follow me! Be fisher of men! And these fishermen drop their nets and follow Jesus. They're interrupted by this Jewish leader. This Jesus once told a story of a Samaritan who happened to be walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's interrupted. You know that story, right? On the way, he noticed that there was a beaten-up, half-dead Jewish man. He had to make a decision. Do I stop and help this Jewish man, or do I keep on going? There's an interruption right there. He stops. He looks at this man. He's beaten up. He's half dead. Bandages the man, puts the man on his donkey, takes the man to this hotel, tells the hotel manager, look after him, care for him, whatever it takes. When I come back, I will pay the cost. What an interruption. You read through the Bible, there's another guy. His name is Saul. Now he's on his way to Damascus with one agenda: to kill all Christians, to persecute them, to shut down the churches. And as he's walking to Damascus, God interrupts him. Out of the blue, God's glory is upon him. And we see this in Acts chapter 9, verse 3. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard the voice said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. And if you've been a Christian or you've come to church for some time, you would know that this Saul would end up writing the majority of the letters in the New Testament. He becomes this great apostle, preaching the gospel to the Gentile world. And there are many, many other incidents in the Bible where God would interrupt people. God is calling for their attention. And so for Christians, Christmas was the greatest interruption of them all. That God saw a need to intervene into our history because he saw that unless he interrupted us, we would be forever in big trouble. That's what Christmas is. Where God will say, I am going to come into history, interrupt everything, because I would not want to leave things as is. It's not good. I have three beautiful children, and I love them to death, and I would do anything to protect them. And for those with children, you would agree with me, right? You can relate to that. Let's just say, hypothetically, there was a fire in my kitchen in the middle of the night. Let me say, I would not tiptoe quietly into my kids' bedrooms and just say, hey boys, sorry, can you please wake up? We have a major issue. There is a fire in the kitchen. I'm sorry you're in your deep sleep. I'm so sorry, but I have to wake you up because there is an emergency. There is a fire and we have to leave the house now. Let me say that I would never ever do that. If I saw a fire in my kitchen, I would not care if my boys had a sweet dream. I would not care how deep their sleep was. I would run in, I would shout, I would scream, I would interrupt them, and I would wake them up, and we would leave the house because the house is burning. Because when you love someone so much, you would do whatever you can to save them, to help them in the midst of danger. And the first Christmas is when God saw us and says, I want to do something about this because I would not want to leave them in that state. And I believe that God is forever interrupting you and I today. I believe that God is calling for our attention. He is calling you, he's interrupting you because he wants you to listen to him and he wants you to follow him. You know that particular person that's always calling you and inviting you to go to church, that's always wanting to pray for you, that's always sending you those Christian Bible verses? Maybe God is using them to interrupt you and calling you and grabbing your attention. Or when you go to church and you hear the pastor preach that message, and for some reason he's always talking to you and only you. So annoying. How does he know that I'm struggling with that? You've been there before? Who told him about my secret? How come he's speaking to me? Is that message for me? Maybe it is. Maybe God is using the pastor to interrupt you, to call for your attention. I know of a church in America. The pastor had this crazy idea. He thought it would be great if he went to some of these porn websites and have these pop-ups, Bible verses, and invites to come to church. True story. Can you imagine the guy that's downloading that video and then this Bible verse comes up? Or this invite to come and hear the gospel message? Maybe God is using that software or whatever it is to interrupt that person and calling them. You know, I was driving home 20 odd years ago, and I was T-boned. I nearly died that afternoon, July 1997. I nearly died that afternoon, and I was very angry with God. I said, why? Because I was going to a very important meeting. But hindsight is a wonderful tool, because I realized that God was interrupting me, and my life was changed that afternoon. Is God interrupting you? Is God calling for your attention? And the question is, will you notice and will you follow? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a great theologian, he once said this: we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our path and canceling our plans. That's what he's doing. He's calling for our attention. So we go back to the very beginning of that first Christmas, back in Luke chapter 1. Mary and Joseph, interrupted by God. You're going to have a baby. He's going to be King of all kings. His kingdom will never end. Look what happens. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. For no word from God will ever fail. And the very next verse, look at Mary's response. In verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. My prayer for us as a community, whether you are a believer of Christ or not, my prayer is that when God interrupts us, may we be like Mary and respond by saying, I'm your servant. Here I am. May it be as you have said. For some of you, maybe God has interrupted you on many occasions throughout this year. And maybe right now, this morning, as I'm sharing the Word of God, God is interrupting you and God is calling for your attention. For some of you, maybe you've had a year where you're so far from God, but there always happens to be a Christian or something that you're looking on social media where God is interrupting you and calling for your attention. And maybe for some of us, this is the first time that you've realized that Christmas is not about gifts. It's not about Santa or the Christmas tree or presents, but about a God who loves you so much that he would come into this world, that he would interrupt humanity and history, because he saw that if things were left alone, we're all in big trouble. Maybe God is calling you to follow him. My prayer for us all is that when he interrupts us, may we notice and may we follow. May we say to him, I am here. I am yours. May it be as you have said. We're a church where we want people to connect with God. We are a church where we want people to meet God, because we know that when you meet him, your life will be completely transformed. We know that when you meet God, you see life differently. Ask any Christian the day they met him, how their lives have been completely transformed. That's my dream. That's my desire. I planted this church nearly 9 years ago with a heart to reach as many Australians as possible until the day he takes me home or until the day he comes back here. And I know that my job as a pastor is to interrupt, to disturb you, to awaken you, because God wants your attention. So I don't know whether what I've said has made any sense, but if you feel that this is a Christmas where you want to do business with God and you want to reconnect with God, or you just want to explore the love of God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. So I'm going to ask everyone to have your eyes closed and just bow your head if you don't mind.